welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here with today's program is Pastor Paul.
I love to see weak make strong, but most of all,
welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito. I'm the senior pastor here of Island Community Church in Merritt Island. Thanks for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. I personally thank you for spending, and hopefully it'll be 30 minutes if you can stick with us here for the next half an hour. You're going to hear the word of God here. I promise you, coming up in just a moment. Just want to let you know who I am and who we are. This church, Island Community Church, is a member of the Southern Baptist Convention. We're at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. We meet Sunday mornings at 10:30, Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock for Bible study. We're in a series here. We've got 2 weeks left on Moses. And that's what you're going to hear today. Sermon I just preached on Sunday. It's entitled Moses and the name of God. We're in Exodus chapter 3, and we're at the burning bush. So that's where we're going to pick it up here. This is either Wednesday or Thursday. I'm going to let this opening play for both days. If it is Wednesday, I invite you out to our Bible study here tonight, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. So if you're tuned in at 5:30, hey, you guys got half an hour to point your car towards 1000 North Banana River Drive and come by for our Bible study. We are in Luke chapter 23. You are invited. We'd love to see you. Sunday morning, we will be looking at Moses and the 10 plagues of Egypt. So that's what's going on here. God is doing an awesome work at this church, something like I've never been a part of before. And I'm just so grateful to be a part of now, and you are invited. So, okay, let's get into the word now. For more info, again, on the church, you can go to islandcommunitychurch.net. Everything I've ever preached is uploaded on there, and every sermon is up on there, and more on the church uploaded on there as well. So, okay, this will play Wednesday and Thursday. Here we go with Moses and the name of God. We've had some wonderful studies in these past few weeks in the life of Moses, haven't we? It's been a great study. Now, today we're going to continue that. I've entitled this message, Moses and the Name of God. Turn with me, please, to Exodus chapter 3, second book of the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 3, where we left off last Sunday. Now, in our last sermon, and there are Bibles, too, underneath the chairs in front of you. There should be some New King James Bibles there if you need one. Okay, last week we left off at the holiness of God and how God instructed Moses to take his shoes off. That's where we left off. We discovered that he didn't say that because God is eccentric. God told them to take their shoes off because God is holy. That's the reason why. Chapter 3, verse 4. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And God said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Now, I guess he probably would say the same thing to me. If I went to draw near him, he'd say, Esposito, get those ostriches from off of your feet. Before you even come near me, you got to wear an ostrich, a dead one even, around your feet while you approach me. I'm holy. I'm so holy, my son, for the love of Pete, had to die on the cross. And you're going to put dead ostriches on your feet and walk near me. You missed it, son. You've missed it. You've missed it. Take off your shoes.
We saw that this isn't the only place where we run into the holiness of God. Moses' brother, Aaron, and his sons tried to approach God their own way. Uzzah, who reached out and touched the ark, tried to move the ark his own way. You know, that reminds me. How come nothing happened to the Philistines who loaded the ark on the cart in the first place? How come they didn't drop dead or had fire come down out of heaven and leave them crispy? Answer, because they didn't know better. Uzzah knew better. Aaron's sons knew better than that. Ananias and Sapphira, who were killed for lying to God, I'm not sure if they knew better then, but after that, they certainly did. And the whole church knew better too. As it says, and great fear fell upon the church on that day. And they understood a little bit more about God. Our text from last Sunday continues, verse 6. It says, moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face. He was afraid to look upon God. Now, the Lord Jesus refers to this too. As he said, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. In other words, Abraham is not dead. Neither is his son Isaac. Neither is his son Jacob. And neither will you be if you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. You won't be dead either. Then it says Moses hid his face because he was afraid to gaze upon God, I bet. I bet. This is how you can tell the difference between a real believer and the phony. Please remember that as well. The charlatan claims that he or she goes to heaven, sees the face of God, yucks it up with him, then comes back and sells books about it. Whereas the speaker of truth falls on his face like a dead man at the presence of God. Those who are in the presence of God are told, take your shoes off kindly. Now, verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who were in Egypt. And I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good, bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm in verse 8 of Exodus 3:8. To the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and the mosquito bites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I also have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses' response, verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So God said, I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What should I say to them? Fair enough question, right? Who are you, God? Maybe you've asked the same question in your life. What's your name? Who are you? I mean, there are many so-called gods, especially at that time. But who are you? What should I tell the Jews that your name is? And now verse 14, and the springboard for all that we're going to look at here today. Verse 14, and God said to Moses, notice it's in all capitals in your Bible. It says, he says, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God. Oh, now we've got two different names there for God. The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my covenant to all generations. All right, there, the Lord God was Jehovah Elohim, or else the I am. It's the I am who I am God, the God, or the living God, the God. This is my name forever. So what does that mean, I am? I am is the English translation of the verb to be. Like, I am, you are, he is. My translation from the Greek Old Testament, the Septuagint, it reads like this in Greek for this answer that Moses, that God gave to Moses. God said to him in Greek, ego eimi ho on. Which meant, I am the being. Oh, what a powerful name that is. The being. Think about it. Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the being has sent you, has sent me to you. Wrap your mind around that this morning. The being has sent me, not a being. The being. Now, usually the phrase I am demands what I think it's called a predicate. That is, something must follow. You gotta be, you are what? Something's gotta follow I am, not with him. There's nothing to follow. He's the end all. Like the word ology. He's theology. Nothing, that's where the word logos is. Another name for Jesus. Nothing can follow it because you are. I'm going to see, it's for times like this that I got this. And I'm ready to bang my head into the wall because I'm in front of 70 people here trying to explain the name of God. And I'm better off banging my head a couple times with this. I am who I am. Thus ye shall say to these people, the being has sent me. The word means what it says. I am. So the word means and is self, or the self-existent one. Not I am something or I am someone. I am. How's that for a name? I would say it's the name above every name, if you ask me, just like Jesus. The being. Now, anytime in your Bible, when you see the name Lord with all capitals, capital L-O-R-D, this is the name. Sometimes pronounced Yahweh, Yahweh. Now, later on, we had changed the Y's to J's in English. That would be Jehovah. The King James Version translators went with that for this name. That's why it might say there in your King James Version, it says Jehovah. That's the English translation of those four letters, the tetragrammation, YHWH. The great I am, the covenant name revealed to Moses for the very first time here in Exodus chapter 3. Now remember, God's revealed himself by many names. There's El Shaddai. There's El Elyon. That is the Lord Most High. Elohim. Jehovah Sabaoth. That is the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Elohim, like here. In Greek, Kyrios or Revelation calls them Panta Kratos. Panta means all, Kratos means you got it right here. All powerful, or else known almighty. Panta Kratos, name of God. So now that you got it at all, you go down here to these people over there and tell them who I am. Good luck with that. But now you know the origin of the name. Lord in English, we're safe calling him by that name in English. Lord. You can't go wrong addressing him as Lord or Lord God. Now, if you would please, turn with me now to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Now, I want to look at, excuse me, I want to look at a conversation that took place between Jesus and the Jewish leaders. Let's pick it up, John chapter 8, starting in verse 51. Thank you. John, now, we're following the name. And there's no great more important for us New Testament church to do is to follow that name here as it's used and applied in the New Testament. John chapter 8, verse 51, Jesus speaking. He says, amen, amen, or most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Wow. Is that saying that anyone who does what he says will never die? This is how the Jews interpreted what he said. Verse 52, then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, they said, who is dead? Verse 53, I'm in. And the prophets who are dead, who do you make yourself out to be? Now, there's the $64,000 question this morning. Not so much, it's who do you think that he is? Who do you think that he is? Who do you make yourself out to be? This is why we're here this morning, other than to worship the king, and that would be this, who do you make yourself out to be? But first, what a great promise. If anyone keeps my word, he or she will never see death. Do what Jesus says, and you'll never see death. Oh, you might die, but you'll never die. What a great thing. I tell my church family, for those visiting, that's the number one thing on my bucket list that I want to do before I die. You know what it is? Not dying. I'm not crazy. He stood outside Lazarus' grave and said, everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Then he says, believest thou this? Do you believe it? There's a generation that's going to be alive when he comes back. And that generation, you can take it to the bank, Richie, is never going to die. You will be translated in a minute from this old body to something grand. That's good news. With no funeral held in your service. Are you greater than Abraham and the prophets? Who are you? You know, you might die once in this world, like many among your family and friends and loved ones, but he's guaranteeing you that you ain't gonna die twice. Revelation says, I think it's 19:11. It says, he who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. And you overcome by trusting in his name, always in your life. Never turning your back on him. Always walking with him. Crossing, even better yet, crossing the finish line in faith. That's all you got to do, is cross this finish line here in faith with Jesus on your tongue. That's all that's required. He's done all the work. Jesus paid it all. So here in John 8, things are building up now to a huge crescendo. You heard what he just said. How can anyone who keeps his words never die? Now in verse 56, Jesus is going to floor them with this comment. He said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and he was glad." So Jesus is saying here, he knows Abraham. Verse 57, then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" So you, Lord, or I should say, they called him Jesus, wouldn't call him Lord. You're not even 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? Is this a case of too much linguine? Who is the man called Jesus? Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." He said to them in Greek, he said, "Prin Abraham genestai ego eimi." Before Abraham was, I am. We've now gone all the way back to where we started this morning. We're back at the burning bush. And you can bet your sweet Bippy, these guys knew exactly what he was talking about. They knew who he's calling himself to be. Which is why verse 59 reads the way that it does. Then they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going out through the midst of them, and so passed by. What an incredible statement by the man named Jesus. Before Abraham was, I am. What do you do with Jesus Christ? For either he had too much linguine, or he is who he says that he is, the Son of God. What do you do with him? Josh McDowell said he's either a liar or a lunatic or the Son of God. There's only three options you got this morning. Liar. Lunatic. He believed all those things and wasn't. Or the Son of God. That's your choice. I present to you the evidence. This man named Jesus said he was old enough to have known Abraham 2,000 years earlier. I want you to see the significance of his name, but I think, church family, you already do. Now, I know we're looking at Moses in the name of God, but there's no more important thing in the world than you know who Jesus is and whom he says that he is. Because the idiots on TV say, "Well, Jesus never said he was God." Come here, let me crown you with this. No, Jesus never said he was God, but he said he was around. He's older than Abraham, and he just called himself Ego Eimi.
WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study and Sunday mornings for service at 10:30 a.m. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
I see the joy of the dancers and all the healing.
Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you
from Love
do life
finding,
right.
Here's Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
You know, one of the worst things that a man can do is to father a child and abandon that child. Do you know that? Folks, I want to tell you, when God brought us into this universe, God did not make us to abandon us. When God made the first creation and He stepped back, and when it was finished, God said, it's good. But then sin came into the world. It was not good anymore. Then the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on this cross to pay for our sin. And when He had finished, again He said, it is finished. It is done. And now there is a new creation for all who will believe. And so when you give your heart to God, when you trust Him as your Lord and Savior, when you receive Christ, when the Holy Spirit comes into you, you are fulfilling your obligation to Him. You're saying, you made me, you redeemed me, I surrender to you. Then when He comes into you to guard you, guide you, protect you, and take care of you, He fulfills His obligation to you. And I want to tell you that the God who created you did not create you to abandon you.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.
Like the grass withers and fades away. All flesh is like the grass withers and fades away. The glory of man, like a flower. Shrivels in the sun and falls. The glory of man, like a flower, that shrivels in the sun and falls. But the word of the Lord endures forever.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches.